Welcome back to the Brunson Podcast. You guys will not believe this. I literally got 12 minutes into my podcast and realized the microphone was not turned on. So from what I'm seeing now, it's actually working. That's exciting. I am a little bit upset right now. So we're going to start back from the top. You guys missed out. I really feel like I was on a roll there for a second. So, okay. Let me gather my thoughts here for a second. I just hit play. I didn't really even like take a chance to kind of consider that my brain was totally somewhere else. So right now I am in my cousin's pickup because it's the only quiet place that I could find. I'm using my brand new microphone, which I'm very excited about, by the way. And I hope that it is better audio quality than what I've had in the past. I've gotten some amazing feedback. And by the way, thank you all so much. I feel so supported right now. I've had a lot of people reach out to me and talk about how they've been listening to the podcast, talk about how it's, for a lot of people, it's been very inspiring, which to me is just super exciting because these ideas are cool to me, but I've never had the chance to really record them, I guess, and put them out there. Anyone that spent any time around me knows that I'm the thing that won't shut up. Like, if you get me talking about self-improvement and about acquiring skill sets and about kind of crafting your own character, about being deliberate about your life and choosing your path, I am the fountain. I just flow. And I will talk for hours. And everyone that knows me well knows that. So thank you all so much for the support. It means the world to me. And the feedback. The feedback's been also critical. And one piece of feedback was, I've heard from a few people, was like, hey, it's really good, but it's really hard to hear you. I was like, actually, don't worry. I just ordered a microphone. So hopefully this is helpful. Okay. So the reason that it's funny, because I was so excited about this podcast. I was so excited to share some of these ideas with you that I literally did not turn on the microphone, as I mentioned. So I'm still freaking out about it. I mean, this is such an exciting idea for me. So I want to jump in without any further ado and let you know what I've kind of been experiencing. Again, I'm a very simple person who has a lot of issues. And especially in people, I have people tell me this, and it's the strangest thing to me. But I think it's what happens naturally when you record content or produce content of any kind, is that people kind of see the best side of you. And I don't like to go on monologues about all my issues. I mean, I don't see the point of that. Why would I dwell on what's wrong with me? But I just want people to understand, like, I really don't have it all figured out. I really don't have the answers. I'm just someone who truly believes in things and is excited to share them with people. I'm on a journey, and I'm telling you about the journey. So I hope when I go on these monologues, people, A, don't think that I'm being preachy, and B, they don't assume that I'm without tons and tons of character issues and flaws. It's almost a little bit upsetting, because people, even like when people say, like, oh, you have so much willpower. I'm like, well, maybe. Like, maybe, but I don't think so. I think that I'm just someone who's lazy enough. I don't want to suffer a lot of extra pain. If you ever worked with me, you'll know. If there's an easier way to do it, I will find it. Because I hate dumb grunt work. I hate it. I'm super, super lazy that way. I just want to find the most quick and efficient way. I don't mind working hard as long as it saves me more work down the road. And that's kind of the ideas behind this podcast. So let me jump in. And I know I've maybe been boring you, but here, hold on for a second. This is going to knock your socks off, I think, because it's been completely blowing my mind. I've recently come up with a theory about self-destructive patterns. Everyone's got one. We've all got our issues. We've all got things that we do that we're like, oh man, if I could just stop doing that, it would really help me. The problem is, I think sometimes we're often missing the point. I'm gonna hit a few examples. People, myself especially, that binge watch TV series. Instagram junkies. Addicts, including pornography, substance abuse, food addictions, you name it. Video game addicts. All of these things are very familiar to me. Every one of those I just mentioned, well, I don't do drugs, I don't drink. But every single one of those issues is familiar to me. And they're all things that I've dealt with and experienced. People are often very surprised to find out that I am a total movie addict. I love movies. I can watch 3 movies straight, no problem. People are like, well, you seem like such a high achiever. I'm like, trust me. There's very few things I love more than just turning off my brain and watching movies. I love video games. My parents actually never let us have video games in the home. I think that also created something of a deficit for me. Where now I'm just kind of like, not now, but there I went through a phase where I just loved video games. I just couldn't get enough of them. My mom told me if I ever bought an Xbox, she'd throw it away, so I didn't do that. My mom was the real deal. If you know her, you know what I'm talking about. I went through all of these things that I do systematically. I said, okay, so Brunson, why does Brunson binge watch Netflix? Really, what's going on in your brain? And I've got this cool perspective from my journals that I'm really able to kind of dive into my psychology on when I get down these vicious downward spirals. Why do I get in these self-destructive modes where I'll watch Netflix all day? Why do I get these self-destructive modes where I delve into addiction or I eat as much sugar as my body can handle? Like, I really do, and I have. I call it my black hole mode, right? Where I just kind of like get in this mode where I'm just kind of a little bit self-destructive. And the more I've learned about myself, the less frequent and the less severe these have become. And recently, over the last couple of months, I've really been developing this idea, and it's been transformational for me, and that's why I'm so excited to share about it. But recently, I've seen some serious fruits from it, so that's what kind of spurred this 10 p.m. recording session. Here's what I figured out. If I am craving Netflix, what it means is I am lacking connection. It means I need to go out and I need to call some friends and go out and be social. Work with me. If I am craving video games, it means that I need to get back into either playing the piano, creating a new business idea, getting back to work, doing something creative or creation-based. If I am craving a food that I know is not good for me, super sugary things, whatever, it's because my body is missing the right vitamins, the right greens, right electrolytes, cultured vegetables, probiotics, things like that. Enough water. If I am anxious and depressed, I need to hit the gym. Now, the reason I developed this is because I've really discovered that for me, diving into my individual needs and looking at things as check engine lights and not as individual problems has changed me. Now, when I mean check engine lights, here's what I'm talking about. If you're driving down the road and you see that the check engine light comes on and your gauges are going like, you know, it's showing that your car's way overheating, I think often what we think we need to do is just like, well, let's just cover up the check engine light and then it just goes away. Or let's just unplug something. Let's just rewire it. We come up with these crazy ideas when the only thing that the engine really needs is oil, or it needs more coolant, or it's running low on gas, right? And we come up with these crazy methods. And this sounds so obvious when we're talking about a machine, but with our own bodies, we're missing the point. We're the exact same way. Something that I have dealt with, and I know a lot of young men have, and a lot of my friends especially, is pornography, which is something that's really like a personal a thing that's caused me a lot of reflection now, is because it's such an odd thing. When you really think about it, it's a very strange concept. And people, when they say, oh yeah, pornography is about sex, I'm like, you know what you're talking about then. I've read a lot of books on it now, and I've got friends, and we talk about it really openly, because it doesn't help to pretend like it's some kind of secret. I mean, find me a guy that's never looked at porn. That would be a real, real surprise. But what's been so fascinating about it is if you change your perspective to this is a check engine light and not I need to just put tape over the problem, it changes everything. A lot of guys, I hear them say this, oh man, I just wish I could kind of like quit, you know, and just stop doing it. I'm like, okay. And what are you willing to give up instead? Like, oh, I just, and really after like this conversation, I'm like, what you're really telling me that you want is to change nothing in your life, but extract that one thing. Yeah, I don't want my life to change. My life is great. So you're telling me you want to still sleep in until 12, watch all these movies that are chock full of nudity, play video games the rest of the day, and still like never ever have this temptation in your life again? Really? Is that what you're really telling me? Or Yeah, I just really wish I could lose the weight. Okay, but are you willing to like actually cut out the Chick-fil-A? Well, no, because I love Chick-fil-A. So what you're looking for is a magic solution. And then that's when they get into liposuction, and that's when they get into these crazy, like, I'm not saying crazy, I mean, every person's individual and how, you know, what the needs are is super individual, but my point is that I see a lot of people who, really, the solution is very, very simple, but they're just trying to cover up the check engine light. They don't want to actually address the actual needs behind the check engine light. For me, it's like, man, I just really want to watch Netflix all day. I don't go, wait, that's weird. Why would I want that? I'm an achiever. I'm a producer. Why would I want to sit down and watch movies all day? If I'm doing that, I'm covering up that check engine light with a sticker and saying, like, I'm just going to pretend this doesn't exist anymore. So the whole paradigm shift for me has been deal with your needs and deal with them preemptively. It's really, really hard if you're craving Chick-fil-A to be like, oh, now I'm going to start dealing with my needs. It doesn't work that way. You deal with them way before the check engine light comes on. You don't wait for the engine to start overheating and start steaming out the front before you go, you know, I probably should put some more coolant in there. Like, that's the wrong time to do it. You do it way before. You take care of those needs way before. And if you're able to do that, you save yourself so much pain. So much pain. So I want to give you guys a peek into my morning system, and hopefully this will kind of help explain why I do what I do. Another great example that's really close to home for a lot of people, myself included, is anxiety and depression. I've not been immune from that. I'm not considering myself someone who is chronically depressed or has needed to medicate for anything like that. I get the blues, man. I do. I get down, and I get really anxious sometimes. Here's what I found, though, is exercise. It literally is like the golden ticket for me. If I am feeling anxious and depressed, it means that I did not exercise enough recently. Every single time. Every single time. If I'm not pushing my body, it's like something in me knows it, and I become crazy anxious. It's like, but you think about anxiety, it's this I need to go, go, go thing. We're hardwired. For thousands of years, we have been hardwired to chase down lions, right? To hunt antelope out in the fields. Like, that is our roots, is the hunter-gatherer. And then all of a sudden, what, 20 years ago, we became pretty much cyborgs. We sit in an office all day and look at computer screens all day. It's no wonder that we become anxious, depressed. Anxiety and depression is rampant. And we act surprised, but really the solutions are probably pretty obvious in the sense that you cannot be happy if you are sitting around all day. You can't be happy if you're not addressing the individual needs of your body. Life is changing, the world is changing, and we have to adapt according to our needs as that change occurs. So here's my system. Every morning I wake up, I do a 20-minute exercise. My exercises are barbaric. They're HIIT routines. I do EMOMs, so every minute on the minute. And they're pretty gnarly. I mean, they leave me by minute 20, I'm about dead. And that's the goal. I don't have time, though. I don't have time to go to the gym for 2 hours like some people. I really don't. I also know that convenience-wise, I had to build a system that I could do anywhere. So I developed 3 separate exercises that target legs on one day, chest and arms on another day, and back and core on another day. And that's it. That's all I had time for. So I do my 20-minute system. It's super simple. It's all calisthenics. It works well for me as a man because of the way my body type is. I'm super light. I built that around my needs. 20 minutes, that's the way that I do it. That guarantees that I get a really good exercise in every day, no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing. I always have 20 minutes. I take a shower, and then I really pound up my electrolytes. So lately, I've been doing a lot of research into types of drinks I can make that are good for me. And so, like, Gatorade is not good for you. Sorry for the disclaimer. But what I'm doing is water with apple cider vinegar, lemon, salt, and stevia, and ginger. And that's kind of what I've been shooting for lately. And I just pound my body full of electrolytes. And what that does is it takes care of all of my hydration needs. A lot of my cravings come from being dehydrated. So I figured that one out. I also intermittent fast. I won't eat again until noon. I won't have any calories until noon. Next is I study books that I love. Now, it depends what I'm feeling that day. But usually they're books like, right now I'm working on A Million Miles in 1,000 Years by Donald Miller, which, by the way, if you have not read, great book, not for everyone. I sure recommend it to a lot of friends, and half of them come back in tears, and the other half of them are like, I don't really get what was that all about. So very entertaining to me, very interesting. But it's a book that really spurs a lot of my ideas, and it's one I've read in the past, and I'm rereading it right now. Then I do stuff like what I'm doing right now, because I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about sharing my ideas. I'm passionate about serving in a way that I feel like I can. Everyone's service is different, but this is me how I serve. So I do something that's connecting with my mission and my purpose in life, which I feel like is to share ideas and to hopefully prompt people to make changes in their life that bless them and their families. So next is I take some time to connect with God, kind of through prayer and meditation, especially gratitude focused. Big believer that gratitude is kind of the key to a lot of our needs for people's approval. Like if you want to talk about a check engine light, if you are feeling like your life is meaningless and purposeless and nobody loves you and you're kind of getting down on yourself and you're really like negative talking, what it means is you've not exercised enough gratitude. That's my opinion. Next, I study my religious canon, and I really dive into that, and I've really kind of switched that up lately where I'm really trying to deeply immerse myself, and that's really blessed me more than I can say. Next, I do meditation. And this is, and about this point in my morning system is where things get a little bit shaky because life just happens. So I've listed them in accordance with the most important to me. Things that I feel like are going to most benefit me. Some of these I'll actually switch over to the evening. Occasionally, if I need to, I'll switch over scripture study towards the evening because it's something I can do for a few minutes before bed if I need to. But anyways, yeah, then I go, so I have my meditation. For me, this is a way to cope with a lot of my emotional needs. If this is the check engine light, right? If you are feeling like you care what everyone else thinks, if you find yourself paranoid about what the neighbors think, you find yourself paranoid about keeping up with the Joneses, if you find yourself truly unable to be your own man or woman, and you feel like you're being ruled by the opinions of others, you're missing a lot of meditation probably. Meditation is a great way to get your own headspace. It's really easy. When people are like, I don't know how to meditate, I'm like, you literally do nothing. That's the point of it. You let your brain flow. All you do is you step back and you watch yourself think. That maybe doesn't make sense right now, but trust me, if you keep doing it, it'll start making sense. You step back, you look at your body as kind of a third, like as if you were standing in the corner of the room watching yourself. As thoughts come in, you observe them. You just let your mind do its own thing. And you just sit there and you just be still, which is something we don't do very often. We're just still. We don't listen to anything. We don't talk. We don't try to particularly think about anything. We just let our brain just go wherever it wants to go. And that stillness will totally transform the way that you, cope with others' opinions about you. And next, I do a short planning session. And then at noon, I do my super shake, which is the exact same concept. I'm like, what is everything my body needs to be happy? All right, I need fats. I need probiotics. I need greens. I need potassium. And I figured out all the things that I usually tend to crave. The nice thing about getting into long distance running for me is it really helped me tune into the concept of needs. Quick story is that when I was running, I ran 50 miles during my attempt at a 100 miler, which I bit off a little more than I could chew. For that 50 miler though, what I was learning, and it's funny because there was this guy there that told me he was a pro runner, and I was talking to him and he said, what's the longest race you ever did though? And I said, I did a 6 miler once. And he literally laughed. He's like, no, seriously, like, what's the longest? I mean, how many marathons have you done? I'm like, I've never done a marathon. He's like, wait, what are you doing here? You know, he literally was just kind of almost dumbfounded. Like, why are you here? I was like, I just thought it'd be kind of a fun challenge. And he just like looked at me like I was crazy. And, you know, looking back now, I can see what he's talking about. And he said, okay, so tell him about your nutrition plan. I was like, I don't really have one. He's like, oh, dude, I don't want to be rude. I just want to give you the correct expectations. You probably won't make it past noon. Your stomach's going to lock up on you. You're not going to be able to put down calories. You have to be so in tune with your body to understand. A gift that I think I do have, and my dad called being a hypochondriac when I was a kid, thanks, Dad, was that I am really in tune with my body. Trust me, I really am. Like, as a result, if I had even a twinge of a headache, trust me, I knew all about it. And I tell my parents, I can't go to school today because I'm just not feeling well, you know. But as a result, it's funny, in running, it's actually been a huge blessing for me. I can feel when my body's low on sodium. I can feel when I need calories. I can feel exactly what's going on in my body. I feel like I'm very, very in tune with what's going on inside my body. So as a result, I've been able to kind of biohack a lot of my needs. A lot through split testing, coming back to being a marketer, you split test everything. You have option A, option B. You find a good way to control those tests and say, okay, which one's working for me? Where, what am I missing now? And so this will take me years and years to perfect, but I've kind of created a super system for trying to meet those needs. The running story, the reason I tell that is because it comes back to everything I'm talking about right now. If you are craving something, or I should say even better, if your muscles start locking up just even a little bit, you have to preemptively act immediately. Okay, I need more salt and water right now. You start feeling your hands get puffy. All right, more salt. You start feeling something in your stomach, like your energy level is starting to go a little low. You immediately pound some of those calories. It's this crazy balancing game for a lot of these runners to balance those needs out. And that's pretty much a lot of the science behind even this running is your own nutrition. So by a similar token, I think that as we are able to dial in to our individual needs and figure out, okay, what's really going on behind the scenes here? Why am I doing this? I think addiction is so easy to see, and for me it's kind of close to home, but it's so easy to see because it's like you're craving something that you know is destructive. You know it's bad for you. You know it hurts you. It hurts those around you. Yet you still crave it. Why is that? And again, it's rather than trying to say, oh, I just need to stop doing that. That shouldn't be the focus. Find out what you need to replace it with. Find out the check engine light. What's really going on? Plug into the system and say, okay, what am I really missing that's making me crave this? They actually did this crazy study. I don't remember where I even heard this from. It might have been on the School of Greatness podcast, but this lady did a huge study into addiction, and she said that they found in Portugal, I don't remember, I think this maybe 10, 20 years ago, they did a big study on addiction and found out that the main problem, the reason people suffered with addictive behaviors was because they lacked connection. So they diverted, I think, a huge portion of their addiction recovery funds and their crime funds and a lot of different things into addiction social centers or something like that. Essentially, they gave a place for addicts to go to be social, because they found the reason that people indulge in addictions is that they're lonely. And so they said if people are really connecting with people on a deep level, they just stop craving a bunch of addictions right off the bat. For me, that's super real. If my needs are not being met, I crave things that I know are destructive for me. And I don't even talk about addictions. I talk about anything. And a lot of things that are actually addictions, we don't like to label as addictions, like binging on Netflix. It's an addiction. Just saying it out loud. It's an addiction. If you're binging a bunch of sugar all the time, that's an addiction. If you're binging a bunch of caffeine all the time, that's an addiction. There's a lot of these addictions in our lives, and who's to say which one's worse? I think the reason that some get a bad label is because they are so much more destructive, and there's a lot more like problems that are more visible. But frankly, none of them are good, and none of them are going to bless your life long term. And you know that. We know that. That's the point, is that we know these things are hurting us, but we just kind of like, you know. It's kind of like this friend, you know. For a lot of people, I know it is that you're having a bad day, you just go buy a muffin. You know, like, that's the best way to handle it. Eat your emotions. But again, that's something you have to, it's a real problem, and you have to deal with it in a rational way. And I think the best way to deal with it is to say, this is a check engine light. What am I craving that I'm not getting? And I think that as you start to craft, especially, and I'm a big believer in this, especially a morning and an evening system around those needs and say, what do I need to function at my highest level? What needs am I not getting that are causing me these problems down the road? If you start to tap into those, I really think that's what's going to make the difference. I think that's what's going to really change those mindsets. So, man, I'm all over the place, and I don't even know if I talked about half the stuff I plan to, but that is kind of my two cents for today. Understand that a lot of those addictive behaviors, a lot of those problems, a lot of those destructive habits, they really do tie back to something much deeper, something much more substantial. And if you really want to solve them, you've got to reverse engineer it. You've got to go back. I think keeping a journal is awesome, especially on the good days and the bad days. I've had to go, okay, Brunson, so you were doing so good here for 3 months. You were just on fire. You're killing it. You're taking on these major projects. You're producing at an extremely high level. Then something happened right here. What happened? Okay, what's that? Okay, and then also, what even caused that upward spiral? What caused you to launch off like that? being able to really reverse engineer those things for me has been super potent, very powerful. So I hope that this has made sense. Again, thank you so much all for the support. I would love your feedback. If any of you want to talk more in depth about this, especially on some, you know, addiction or whatever else, just message me personally. I'd love to chat with you about it. It's actually become a big passion of mine is to talk about some of these things, because especially like, I mean, I'll be in a group setting even. And it's funny because people, it's so taboo to talk about, I mean, just so many of these things, pornography or, I don't know. I mean, there's a thousand things that people are just terrified to talk about in a lot of circles. And for me, yes, I do believe that pornography is not good. I believe it's wrong. I believe it's addictive. Some people don't agree with that. Agree to disagree. But I'll be in these circles and everyone's kind of like almost kind of like, I'm not sure how to talk about it. And I'm like, oh yeah. And I'll just kind of like whip it out. Cause I'm not, you know, as long as things stay in the dark, they continue to be a problem. I'm a big believer in the phrase that we're only as sick as our secrets. I'm a big believer that until we kind of face up to our own problems and our own demons, they'll always control us. For me, I don't like to admit to myself that I've got an addiction to movies, because I'm a high achiever and I'm a producer, and no, you got an issue, Brunson. Like, being able to say that to myself takes away so much of the power of that issue. It just dissolves it. And I really do think that we kind of like to keep these secrets. I'm not talking about like deep dark secrets. I'm talking about even like not admitting to ourselves that we got an issue if we're overweight and we can do something about it. If you have a weight problem or a fitness problem and it's in your control, you need to face the music on it. Until you do, it's always going to control you. Until you really take full responsibility and say, I am the reason that I'm not happy. I'm the reason I'm not fit. I'm the reason that I'm this. I'm the reason that I'm that. Personally, I believe until you face the music on your own mental issues, whether that's anxiety and depression, you have to really face the music on it and say, okay, whether or not I meant to, there's a pretty good chance that I kind of created this. And I'm not talking about everyone. I admit very readily that there's people that struggle with things that are way deeper than just behavioral patterns, like some of those chronic issues. But I think for most of us, I really believe this, most of us, a lot of our anxiety and depression is based in us not meeting our needs. And we always want to think that a pill can solve it. And sometimes it's just not that. Sometimes it's as simple as getting your diet in order, getting your exercise in order, going out and playing in the dirt, getting in nature, and meeting some of those needs. And some of those needs we don't even recognize. But you have to really look back and go, okay, we spent thousands of years literally every day in the dirt, and then one day it just kind of stopped. That has to have repercussions. Like, our biology is going to reject that. So, anyways, I'll get off the soapbox, but I'd love any of your feedback. I'd love to talk more about this for those that are interested. I wish you all the best of luck. I really do believe that we do have the power. We have the power to produce massive change in our lives. We have the power to rewrite our stories completely. And I think that as you courageously look yourself in the eye and face up to your own demons, your own issues, your own problems, they lose their power, and then you can actually begin to have a conversation. Okay, how do I really fix this check? How do I not unplug the light bulb on the check engine light, but how do I actually go and like fix the root problem? So with that, all the best of luck to you guys. And we'll see you on the next podcast.